And we're back here, WWGH Radio, Tuesday, April the 7th, 2020, 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour, 4-7-2020, a very rainy, rainy Tuesday morning here in Marion, or at least it was when I came in the building this morning. Now, here we are, still in the middle of the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, and we're trying to do the best that we can, and we're going to be joined momentarily here by a guest on the program. And of course, we do want to thank legendary comedian Marsha Warfield, star of TV series such as Night Court and Empty Nest, for joining us in hour number one. And we've been very lucky over this period to have been joined by people like Phil Donahue and Dick Cavett and Shecky Green and Marla Gibbs, and this morning Marsha Warfield. You have to remember, the world has basically, well, certainly the United States has come to a stop at this point, and these people have things to say. Whether they're comedians or talk show hosts or broadcasters, people still want to talk. And we're glad and so proud that we have provided that outlet during this pandemic. Every Tuesday since this started, we have been chatting with the mayor of Marion, Scott Schertzer. We will continue that this morning on what is the cusp, which everybody is saying, of what will be the worst 3 to 4 week period of this pandemic. Yesterday, we were lucky enough to have Dr. Curtis Gingrich, the chief executive officer of Ohio Health Marion General Hospital, on, talk to him about the medical side of this and if the hospital was ready for what is to come. And yesterday also had Brian Zwanda on, a gentleman from Medina, in his 40s, with no underlying conditions, who has been through the COVID-19 disease, flu, whatever you want to call it. It's very interesting. But as I say, every Tuesday morning, we check in with the mayor of Marion, and we are always so glad to do so. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Scott. It's good to be with you this morning.
Absolutely. Mayor, here we are on what is the cusp of this pandemic. What are you feeling at this point?
Well, I think like a lot of Marionites, Ohioans, I think we're feeling optimistic. I hope that we're all practicing everything that Dr. Acton is telling us, because that's what is going to get us over that bell curve and on the downhill run to a more normalcy in our community and in our state. But I think as everybody has been indicating, that we could have a tough road to hoe here in the next couple of days, or at least a week and a half.
I certainly think here in Marion in the last 7 days we have noticed that. I believe we went from around 10 cases to 25 as of yesterday. When the numbers start to increase like that, what are you thinking as the mayor of Marion?
Well, I'm thinking about what more can we do? You know, what more can I do with the city employees? What more can, what different or better message can we put out there? Like many of your listeners, probably listening to the governor and the president day after day, it's the same message over and over, oftentimes, maybe said slightly differently, but I don't know what more we can tell people on how serious it is. I was in the grocery store last week, and a gentleman walked up to me and said, "Is this thing for real, or is this just a big, you know, kind of hoax?" And that was just last week that some people are questioning the validity of what we're all going through right now. and that concerns me. I know the Marion Facebook page is starting to put out messages by community members, community leaders. I know Coach Slater from Harding, Dr. Collenberg, Chief Collins did something, I think, on Sunday. I'm going to do something later in the week, as well as Wade Ralph from the Marion City Fire Department. So B.J. Gruber, Lieutenant B.J. Gruber of the Impact Program, is doing everything that he can to try and have a greater impact on our community, because after all, we're all in this together, and we need to get that message out and continue to get that message out to folks.
It was an interesting week last week, because I think we all felt like people were starting to pay attention to the stay-at-home order. Then the first of the month came, and that is when a lot of people have access to money to get food, to go to the bank. And I went to the bank on the first, and I was also in a grocery store on the first, and it seemed as if things had picked back up. And when I hear your story about somebody coming up as recently as last week saying, "Is this a hoax?" Do you think people have grasped it yet?
Well, again, I certainly hope so, Scott. Nobody's come up to me since then. You know, I tell my kids and teach my kids, you know, the precautions and the social distancing that they're supposed to do. And, you know, it is hard. There's no doubt about it. You know, I think all of our lives we're taught to do certain things socially in our community, in our society, and now we're breaking from those norms, and it's tough to break those norms that we've all lived with our entire lives, whether you're a teenager in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or beyond. It's difficult to do that, and we're all trying very hard to come to the new normal for the time being, I hope. You know, I've obviously we watch a lot of news, and you start to see interviews like, well, how is this going to change society after we get through this? And I don't know that anybody knows for sure, but I think things will change a little bit. I had a gentleman reach his hand out to me to shake my hand. Politicians are always shaking hands, and I just politely smiled and I said, "We're not supposed to do that anymore." And he's like, "Oh yeah, you're right. I can't break that habit." So again, there's that habit, that norm that we're so used to. So I think things will change. We'll be more self-aware and self-conscious of things when we get through this. And I think that's important for your listeners and everybody in this community and this state to know that we will get through this, and it'll be better on the other side.
I think that's a great message to have, and I printed this out last week, and I went over this with Tracy Kinsler, because I thought this was fascinating. We're talking about the governor's press conferences, and I believe it was last Tuesday, or last Wednesday, this went down during one of Governor DeWine's press conferences, and as I say, I'm going to read it just as it was reported. When informed by reporters Wednesday, this would have been last Wednesday, COVID-19 press briefing, that churches, grocery, and department stores such as Hobby Lobby have continually defied executive orders by other governors in other states to restrict the number of people in mass gatherings, not following social distancing guidelines, or to remain closed altogether, Governor DeWine warned of an executive order to be introduced in Ohio. He said local law enforcement agencies throughout the state, in conjunction with local health departments, have absolute authority under the orders in place to close those establishments at their discretion. Now, of course, we know Hobby Lobby was shut down by the Attorney General last week, and there was an order put in place. When we look at Marion at this point, do you see places that are still open that should not be?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I spend most of my time inside the city limits, and I know most of our retail stores are just outside of the city limits. So I have not really taken notice of many that are open, to be honest with you, Scott. I know that there are still some industry and light industry within the city that is open, that we believe and they believe comply with the governor's order. But it's those retail stores that are concerning. I did get a couple of calls. You mentioned one of the retail stores, and there was another retail store in the township. I got calls on them last week saying, why don't you close them down? And then I have to explain to people that, you know, my jurisdiction stops at the city limits. I don't have that authority out in the township and out where a lot of those retail stores are. And when you tell most people that, that's not something they think of. But then, you know, they understand. So I hope that they all follow it. If they do decide to stay open, kind of the part two of the governor's order is that you have to make sure that you're taking into consideration the virus and practicing everything that Dr. Acton says with your employees. So it might be best as we move into this critical next 10 days to 2 weeks that more decide to close down. I would hope that would be something that they would do.
Today, April the 7th, does start the new part of this stay-at-home order, which will be in effect through May the 1st. And under this new part of the order, a lot of grocery stores, a lot of department stores that are open, are now, as of this morning, going to start limiting the number of people that they have in their stores, especially with grocery stores. What do you think the impact of this will be?
Well, I think we need to wait a couple days before we see what that impact is. The grocery stores were kind of already starting to prepare us for things like that. You know, the blue X's on the floors. I know you've seen them, Scott. The COVID shields, I guess, are starting to go up. You're seeing more of those. You're seeing more and more people wearing the face masks now. I think, and I don't have any evidence to back this up, but it seems as if a lot of the face masks are homemade. I wouldn't want that to give anybody a false sense of security with a homemade mask. The N95s are what our first responders are wearing, and that's the recommendation as part of the PPEs. So you're starting to see a lot of that more. Let's maybe ask me that question next week, and I'll have a better answer for you, Scott.
We will do that. We'll save that one for next week. When I was talking to Dr. Gingrich yesterday, the chief operating officer at Ohio Health, Marion General, he seemed confident that even worst case scenario, that this really bulges here, that we will be okay. They've had enough planning time, 3 weeks. There's apprehension, but feels a lot better about what things are like now than they were 3 weeks ago. Have you talked to him in that regard as well, and what do you make of that?
Absolutely. You know, I've talked to Dr. Gingrich more than a couple of times over the past 3 weeks, And you know, I tend to agree with them. I take my cues from the medical profession, the medical community, the public health folks. I've said that all along. They're the ones that have the best information, the best knowledge on this COVID-19. So I would agree with that. You know, we do a lot of conference calls here in the past 3 to 4 weeks, and even when we're not on a conference call, you know, I'm reaching out to other elected officials to see how they're doing and what they're doing. Talked to Dr. Irusi with the Marion City Schools yesterday, reaching out to the majority and the minority leader of City Council and keeping in touch with them to see, you know, do they have any questions. Since City Council isn't meeting weekly, we don't have committees, we don't have our first council meeting of the month, which would have been the 13th. They do have a scheduled meeting for the 27th. Not aware of any items for the agenda just yet, but we've reached out to our department heads and asked them to prepare anything that they might have for the City Council meeting on the 27th. But back to Gingrich, yeah, I would agree. I hope he's right. I think he's right. It seems like excuse me, they're prepared as best as one can be prepared in our community.
One of the aspects this past week, when it has come to Marion, and I believe this is Marion County, but it's Marion to a degree, is the cases that are now in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that? Is that troubling at this point?
Well, I think whenever you have a population contained like that, it is serious. I have spoken to both wardens. Spoke to the warden at NCCI on Friday. Had a conference call with the safety director, the fire chief and police chief, and the warden Neil Turner from NCCI on Friday afternoon. And we were made aware of what their plans were, and we talked some things through. I talked to Warden Wainwright of MCI Saturday morning, and we talked over some things also, some issues. And I know she reached out to Chief Collins also, and then I reported back to Chief Deem my conversation with Warden Wainwright. So I think a lot of folks, I maybe just made the presumption that our residents understand that those are state-run institutions. The state has jurisdiction and final authorities over anything that takes place at the state prisons out on Marion Williamsport Road. Our role as a city is to support and just be aware of what their plan of actions might be under certain conditions. I know Chief Collins and I both reached out to the governor's office on Saturday morning. I did have I guess we just kind of left phone messages with one another, one of the governor's staffers, about MCI and the situation that's taking place there. So we're communicating with the right people, and that open line of communication is often the first and best thing that we can do.
Talking to people who right now are on the front lines of this, Dr. Gingrich and Tracy Kinsler and people of that nature, and certainly being the mayor of the city, there are a lot of decisions that have to be made in conjunction with a lot of other people. As we head in to what they say will be the worst part of this, what is keeping you awake at night? What are you thinking about the most?
Well, I think sometimes it's how do I do something that continues to protect the city employees? I think it was last week we talked about the critical operations plan. That is for the wastewater treatment plant, the city streets department, the sanitation department, and the central garage. We have approximately half of our staff in all four of those departments working in shifts per week. So we're rotating, trying to minimize any exposure that they might have to the virus. And I know that I've received a few phone calls about why are you not picking up my yard waste. Well, yard waste is not something that is of critically importance right now. And when we're working with half staff, we just don't have, you know, we don't have the manpower to do the yard waste. And I just did want to mention, because I reached out to Outdoor Resource Supply, which is formerly, you know, Park Enterprise on Barks Road, which any city resident can take their yard waste out there at no charge. And I talked to Tracy out there, and you do not need to show any proof that you live in the city any longer. They're open Mondays and Fridays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon, no plastic bags. They want the biodegradable bags, and you have to go to the drive-up window. So there is a place and a method to dispose of your yard waste. And yes, I do understand it is an inconvenience for some folks who rely on that service. But, you know, we're all inconvenienced right now, and my apologies to those that are upset that we're not picking up your yard waste. But picking up your trash is of a paramount importance at this point in time.
Other than that, before we run out of time here, are there any other things going on within the city that the people listening should know?
Well, I did want to make mention of recreational fires. I think because people are at home and it was a nice weekend this past week, We're seeing a lot more recreational fires. If it's a recreational fire in your neighborhood, understand that it may, and I stress may, be allowed. Our city ordinance lays out what you have to do in order to have a safe recreational fire. And again, Wade Ralph from the Marion City Fire Department will be posting on the Marion City Police Department Facebook page later this week, laying out what you need to do for a recreational fire. Now, if there is a fire in your neighborhood, and I'm talking about recreational, we're not talking structure. If it's a recreational fire, or you believe it is, don't call 911 for that. You can call the fire department, and they will come out, and they will ensure that the individuals are following the guidelines in our city ordinance for a recreational fire. And the number to call at the Marion City Fire Department is 740-382-0040. And they received numerous calls over the weekend because I talked to one of the assistant chiefs on Saturday afternoon when I got an email from a resident saying somebody was doing this and they didn't think they were allowed. In some cases, they may be allowed to.
Mayor, as we head into the next week before we talk again, what message would you like to leave the listeners with?
I guess it's just a simple message, Scott. Hang in there. We can do this. You know, you see all these inspiring messages on TV from you know, actors and actresses and athletes, and it just, hang in there, Marion. We can do this. We've done really good. We can always do a little bit better. But let's do it together and hang in there and come out the other side better than we are now.
Mayor, thank you for coming on. I know it's always busy, but I appreciate it, and I will talk to you next week. Stay safe.
Thanks, sir. You too. Stay healthy.
Mayor Scott Schertzer making his weekly appearance with us here during the COVID-19 pandemic. So many things have changed. The changes are really astronomical. When you think about them, it's an interesting time. Does anybody have anything to say this morning? 37 minutes past the hour, phone lines are open. We have not had a chance to open up the phone lines in the last 2 days because of our guests, and we're glad that we had these guests on, but we do have time now. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show. 740-383-9944. Any comment on Marsha Warfield this morning, or Dr. Kurt Gingrich yesterday, the COO of Marion General Hospital, or Brian Zwanda, the gentleman from Medina who had COVID-19 coronavirus, or the mayor who was just on moments ago. Any thoughts at all, give me a buzz. Any questions, anything on your mind, 740-383-9944. We are here, and we will talk, and we will go forward. Do want to remind you again that the Marion County EMA is still accepting donations of personal protective equipment, the PPE, that we're hearing so much of as of late. Donations needed: disposable gowns, non-sterile gloves, surgical masks, N95 masks, hand sanitizer. Call the Marion County EMA at 740-223-4142. That's 740-223-4142. Now, today is a different day. It's the second part of our stay-at-home order here in Ohio that will go through May the 1st. And it's my understanding that a lot of grocery stores, a lot of department stores that are still open, will be limiting the number of people who can come into their facility at this particular point. That's going to be fascinating It's going to be fascinating today to see how that all turns out and how that works out over the next few days, as the mayor said. Has anybody been out this morning and experienced any of this so far? If you have, give me a ring here, 740-383-9944. I know it's kind of a sluggish, rainy day, but we're here for you. Do want to remind you, coming up today on this station, 2:10 to 3 p.m. today, we will have the Adam the Computer Guy show. 4:10 to 5 p.m., Voice of the People with Linda Sims. And 5:10 to 6 p.m., The Pastor's Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Tonight, right here on this station. So don't go anywhere. A lot of other great programming in the crevices of this particular day. Now, as I say and have said, we've tried to keep a lot of this program light. We'll report the news and we'll do what we need to do. But at some point, I think we have to have some light moments. Now, here's a light moment. Now, today, I think I got this right, is the birthday of boxing legend James Buster Douglas. Now, about 2 months ago, I had the opportunity to go to Columbus, Ohio, and interview James Buster Douglas in his gym. And he was a very nice man. I thoroughly enjoyed that interview and just had a great time with boxing legend James Buster Douglas. Now, I don't know if this is in conjunction with his birthday today or what the correlation exactly is here, but apparently they're now, I think it's a limited time thing, but there is a Buster Douglas bourbon. Now, can you understand this? A Buster Douglas bourbon. Now, to be honest with you, I am not exactly what you would call a bourbon drinker, and I don't even know that I would drink Buster Douglas bourbon or how much Buster Douglas bourbon costs, but apparently it's only available at Giant Eagle. Now, my question is, where is the closest Giant Eagle to Marion? I was trying to think about this morning, and I don't even know the last time I was at a Giant Eagle. Does anybody know the closest Giant Eagle to Marion? And I don't know if this Buster Douglas bourbon will be sold at all Giant Eagles or if it's just Giant Eagles in the Columbus area, Central Ohio area. I really didn't understand the story. But Buster Douglas bourbon, and apparently there are glasses, you know, cups, as we say, that you can buy with this as well. But I thought, as a commemorative thing, it might be interesting to go get some Buster Douglas bourbon, but I'm not sure where the closest Giant Eagle would be to here. Does anybody know that? 740-383-9944. And probably this is going to point more toward the Columbus direction, because I'm guessing that's where you're probably going to find this. Now, I don't know, Giant Eagle being a grocery store, and of course dealing in groceries in the time of this pandemic, if, you know, this will fly off the shelves like toilet paper. I don't know if Buster Douglas bourbon will hit the extreme that toilet paper has hit, but you never know. It quite possibly could. Bourbon, you know, to be honest with you, I was trying to think last night if I've ever even had bourbon. I don't know if I've ever had bourbon. Now, bourbon is, my understanding is, mostly a drink you would have in the South, like in New Orleans. Didn't bourbon kind of originate in New Orleans? I don't know if I'm right about that. Does anybody know anything about bourbon or the derivations of bourbon at this point? Because I certainly do not know. I don't think I've ever had bourbon. Now, I have heard that bourbon will make a good hot toddy if you're not feeling so well. I think we did have that suggestion one day, that that's a good thing. But I don't know. Buster Douglas bourbon. And I think it's called 42-in-1 or something like that. It's got an interesting title, the bourbon that Buster Douglas is producing at this particular point. If anybody has any thoughts on bourbon or Buster Douglas or the closest Giant Eagle, just give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944, 44 minutes past the hour, or anything else on your mind at this point. I would certainly love to hear from you, wondering how you're getting along, how things are going on in your world. Now, tomorrow, I do believe Charlie Evers is returning. I've been communicating with him via email, so I do believe tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Charlie will be back behind this microphone doing all his great things. Now, that's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, and I should mention that the Paper Rings podcast that I do with the two girls, Michelle and the other girl, that it will be Or it is. I think episode 7 is out now as of yesterday. So if you go to YouTube and you type in Paper Rings Podcast, you will get the episode 7. Who would have thought we would have made it to 7 episodes? Episode 7 of the Paper Rings Podcast. Now, to be honest with you, I know we taped this last week, but I have no idea what it was about. I'm trying to remember what the podcast was about. I know the topic was supposed to be about timing. Timing of meeting people and things like that. But I don't think the show ended up being about timing. I think somewhere it veered into a strange area. And I'm trying to remember what that area was. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on the recreational fires, if I could, there.
Yeah, go right ahead.
You know, I kind of seem to think it's kind of funny that, you know, I have a fire pit out back, you know, and I get out there, and, you know, on nights, and I have a little fire. And I don't see anything wrong with it. My neighbors also do it, too. If he's asking me to tell my neighbors for doing that, he's out of his tree. And, you know, I think the other people should mind their own business if they ain't hurting somebody instead of turning them in. I mean, I'm not going to stop that, you know. That's something I do just to pass time. I ain't hurting nobody, and, you know, we ain't hurting nobody by doing it. I just think it's just a matter of people just trying to make other people's what they're doing their business.
You know, I don't know how those calls are coming in and what the reports are. I really don't even know what you're supposed to do to have a recreational fire. But I don't know. I think it's probably not a whole lot that you have to go through to abide by the law, to my knowledge. I don't know. I really don't know the codes on that.
No, one thing you have to do is you got to be a certain feet away. You don't want to do it on your front porch. I mean, common sense would dictate. I think you got to be so many feet away from any type of structure, and, you know, you got to have some source putting it out if, say, it happened to get out of control on you.
I think you're right, and hopefully, you know, we get through this without too much trouble here. You know, I don't think we want any disasters, and hopefully we'll just plow on through.
Yeah, we're working on one disaster at a time. We don't need any more right now.
Yeah, we don't need them to pile up at this point.
No. We already got a lot on our hands right now.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
And again, phone lines are open. It's just that easy. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 48 minutes past the hour. 12 minutes left in the program. Now, remember, you can go online, Paper Rings Podcast, YouTube, and pull up these episodes. And episode 7 from last week is now available. Now, I don't remember what it was about. As I say, I do it with the girls. And timing, I think, was the concept. Go ahead, caller.
You're talking about the fires, Scott?
Yes.
Well, when you have breathing problems, I was out last night from David Street, clear down almost to the end of Bennett Street, and there were probably 10 people or more out with fires, and they're like bonfires. When you have a pit fire, you can burn, I think, certain little stuff, but they're burning trash, wood, everything. So the doctor wrote me an excuse, because when you have bad breathing problems, some of the houses are on top of each other, and when they do that burning in the back, it makes the smell, you know, the smoke, you can't take it. So I had to go down to the police department, and you kind of register, and when there's a fire, you just call the police department and show them your thing, and the people have to put the fire out, because in the country, you can't even burn. You're not allowed to burn anything out in the country, period. And if the houses weren't close, it would be different. But last night, and the people, you could tell some of them had, like, you'd almost do like a, when the cheerleaders or something had a bonfire, some of them had really big, and the houses, I mean, in town, there's not that much space in between houses, and they were really, had big fires going. And a lot of people, you know, you can't take the smoke and the stuff because of breathing issues and stuff, so...
I certainly understand that. I think we, hopefully, we can just all coexist during this and not make anybody miserable and also give people the recreation that they want to have at this point.
Well, the thing is, if you can't stand it, if it's hot or whatever, you got to shut your windows and you hope you have air conditioning. Otherwise, you just kind of roast. But in the little pit fires, I could see them kind of maybe doing that. But the thing is, they're throwing wood, and sometimes what they're putting in them, I don't know if it's rotten, it just has a terrible smell and different stuff. But they don't realize people, you know, that that some people have breathing issues and stuff, and houses are just right on top of each other. There's not much space, so, and things, so.
Well, hopefully people will take measures to not upset the people around them, and we can get through this with a common answer or a common goal, hopefully.
Well, you wouldn't believe it, but even if people have their what do you call it, their barbecue thing, the barbecue on the porch or something, we have to close the windows. Any little bit of smoke comes our way, we gotta shut them. So
I understand.
And people don't think of that and stuff. But
breathing problems are not fun, that's for sure.
No.
Well, stay well, and thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 51 minutes past the hour, about 9 minutes left in the program. This is how a conversation happens, and hopefully we all learn together and get a common goal here together. 740-383-9944, 51 minutes past the hour. Now, as I say, we taped the Paper Ring podcast last week, and it was released yesterday. Paper Rings, YouTube, listen to it. It'll give you an hour and some change of entertainment. Now, here's the thing about last week. This is what I remember about the episode. I remember it was about timing. I don't really remember anything else, to be honest with you. And I'm going to get back to this momentarily, so stay with me. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
I just got a chance to tune in. So what was about the fires? What we're supposed to turn our neighbors in when they have fires?
Well, the mayor was on this morning, and he said he got a lot of calls, or he got an email over the weekend, and the fire department got a lot of calls about people who were having recreational fires that were not supposed to have them. And our first caller said he has a fire that he does not want to turn his neighbors in or turn himself in. It's recreational. He enjoys it. But the second caller said that she has breathing problems and had to go to the police station because of it, because she can't handle it with the breathing problem. So that's where we are.
But what's the official rule? Are we allowed to do it or are we not? Because I have one of those pits in my backyard, and we like to go out and make s'mores. Is that illegal?
Well, right now, what the mayor said is that it will be posted today. I think he said today or tomorrow, the official rules by the fire department will be posted on the Marion, Ohio Facebook page. And also, people were calling 911 to turn people in. Don't do that.
Lord.
Don't do that. If you want to have a question or turn somebody in, I guess, call the fire department directly. Don't call 911.
Yeah. I mean, unless someone's house is on fire.
Yeah, a structural fire is different than a wreck fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. And again, phone lines are open, as they always are, 53 and a half minutes past the hour. So we're taping the podcast last week, and as I say, it was about timing. I don't remember that. But what I do remember is that Michelle, God bless her, came in on some kind of bender last week. Now, I'm not talking about an alcoholic bender, not that. She came in on some kind of she was ready to talk. She was ready to talk because I think of the group, she's probably, I have been told, the most quiet. But boy, she came in last week ready to talk, and that was tremendous fun. Because here's the thing, Michelle is a very talented, interesting person. She's got a lot of very deep insight that I always find interesting. I like when she talks, and I hope that when people listen to the Paper Rings podcast, they listen to the things that Michelle has to say, because I think she always gives a very fair insight. I think her insights are right down the middle, and I think she tries to be fair, and I think she works at being fair, and I think that's really the hallmark of a very smart, intuitive person. So I last week, that really struck me in a particular way, because I do know that she was more vocal last week, which I enjoyed quite a bit, because when she's vocal, we can have these thoughtful, and they really are thoughtful conversations. And these podcasts are not about pandemic. They're not about the things going on in society right now. They're much more about social mores or just things that go on in life. And I just can't say enough nice things about Michelle. And trust me, she's been working very, very hard during this whole thing, running Stewart's Root Beer. So to continue to do that and then come here directly after and do what she's been doing, I give her tremendous, tremendous, she has my admiration at this point. And I always ask her how she is, because I'm worried. I'm not worried for myself. I come here, I do this, and big deal. But, you know, she's around a lot of people. So I do worry about her, and I hope that she's, I know she's smart enough to take care of it. She's smart enough to know what she needs to do. So I have nothing but confidence in her, but that doesn't stop you worrying about a friend. And that's all it is. She probably gets tired of me asking all the time, are you okay? Are you going to take a day off? Are you going to relax? So on and so forth. You know, that becomes a pain in the neck after a while, but that's what friends do. And it has nothing to do with me doubting that she knows these things. It's just more, honestly, about, what would I say? It's probably more about. It's more about just common courtesy of a friend caring about your well-being, I think is really all that it's about. So that's that. That's what I remember about last week's podcast. And the other thing I remember about the podcast last week was the conversation. I don't remember timing. You know, I guess if I think about timing, have I ever met somebody at the wrong time? I don't think I have. Now, I think maybe people have met me at the wrong time, because after a while, well, you know what? I do try to stay in touch with everybody. I do really try hard at that. I don't blackball people out. I've never done that. I'm just not good at that. But I can be less close with somebody. I can do that. I can back off on a friendship. But as far as cutting somebody out totally, I'm not. No, I don't do that. Because I've never really had somebody do something to me so horrible that I would want to cut them out totally. Maybe that's just my lack of emotion coming into play. Who knows? Anyway, the Paper Rings podcast is available on YouTube, episode 7, up and available as of yesterday. You do not want to miss that, for love nor money, as they say. YouTube Paper Rings Podcast. Again, don't forget, coming up today, the Adam the Computer Guy Show, 2:10 to 3 p.m. Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Isn't it interesting how close we are to Easter? And that is not even a conversation at this particular point. I've heard very few people talking about Easter and Good Friday, which are coming up very shortly. It's fascinating what this pandemic has done to us all in a very big way. But as we always say, we will get through it. There is no doubt about that. Buster Douglas Bourbon, if anybody happens to go into a Giant Eagle, let me know if it's there. Wouldn't that be, because I said I wouldn't drink the bourbon, because I have no information on bourbon. I think it's a Southern thing. But Buster Douglas Bourbon at Giant Eagle. How about that? Will that fly off the shelves? I'm sure it will. And Buster Douglas's birthday today, my understanding. So happy birthday to the champ. Absolutely. All right, I'm done for the day. Stay tuned. Much more programming right around the corner here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just said my prayer.